This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi.
Hi there.
Welcome to ENN on this special Yom Kippur edition. The first time I've worked a Yom Kippur in decades. September the 16th. 2021. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Donald.
Wow!
You beat me?
No.
And good evening to Michael.
Did David Thunder Brown. Rosa beat up David yesterday?
I want to say something about the gift, if I may.
Go ahead.
I stand by my gift because I came alone. So doesn't that get me closer to Michael's gift?
Yeah, I mean, some would say it would make it exactly equal. Some would say. But I stand behind how I feel.
No, well, you shouldn't. You should get off that as quick as possible.
I don't feel there's anything wrong with sending someone a gift in the mail. I just don't. You've changed my mind about many things. That's between me and RJ.
So that's I don't
none
think
of your,
so.
That's none of your business.
It's going to be 3 weeks Sunday.
My point is this, Don. I have 52 calendar weeks, and I can use every single one of them and still be a great guy. But I agree, you shouldn't do that. But the idea that you need to show up with the gift in hand, to me, is archaic.
Well, I just don't know how it benefits anybody that you didn't. Like, was it you didn't want have the card in your hand?
That's it. Well, actually, truth be told, I was coming from Long Beach, and it was a challenging day to go from being in Long Beach with Natalie's family to getting back to the city and then making it up to Westchester for the wedding, and I just didn't have the card yet. So I was like, I'm not going to rush it and hand the guy money. I'm going to send him a card like a gentleman.
Okay.
That's it. That was the only thing. And me and Brownshire rode together. I didn't want to be late. I already was a couple minutes into the ceremony because traffic got insane as we were leaving. And I would have been even worse if I stopped. So that's it. If you must know it all. But I love RJ, okay? And let's not forget, you're still trying to make up for the fact that a couple of years ago, you know what? I don't even want to talk about that. I was going to talk about the wonderful time we had at RJ's birthday party in Brooklyn that you weren't invited to. You weren't invited to.
How was that my fault?
It wasn't. That's what I realized as I was setting you up to attack you, that I was the one who didn't invite you. So I really then couldn't get mad at you for not going.
That's right.
Let's listen. Do you want to hear what they said about me, though, today on the morning program?
Yeah, I want to hear this.
All right, let's hear what Rick and Dave had to say about all this.
I'm embarrassed for Peter Rosenberg. I feel like he's doing this to, I don't know why, but he didn't give our producer, his former producer, RJ Santillo, a wedding present. I can't believe it. I refuse to believe that. But like, RJ's his guy.
He said, clearly not. Clearly not.
I mean, ENN doesn't happen without.
Drop Madness. Drop Madness is non-existent if not for RJ Santillo.
I don't get what happened. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
no.
Remember how mad they were at us that we took RJ. With us to the morning.
Well, the only thing I can think of is maybe this is his salvo back in return. Like, he's like, you took him, you left my show, now I don't gift you. Maybe.
Well, no, but you got to start connecting the dots, though, Dave. I mean, you got to go back to the bar mitzvah.
When he was extra cheap.
So maybe this is just what he does.
That's misrepresentation.
What? And it got worse than that, Anthony, you're saying? There's more?
You are going to give him a gift at some point.
Of course this is a misrepresentation. Hold on, what else do they say?
Now comes up with this Emily Post belief from 50 years ago where you have up to a year to give a present for a wedding. It's embarrassing.
Wait, that's embarrassing. That's a thing? You can wait a year?
No, I think it used to be a thing. And even if it was at one point acceptable, I think it's embarrassing if you wait a year. Oh, come on.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think waiting a year is not the way to go. But the fact that they represented it as if I'm not going to give RJ a gift, it's sickening. And let's be honest, Don, I love Dave. I love Dave. I love Rick. I love RJ. It's Yom Kippur, okay? In fact, I'd like to say I'm sorry for the time when I've not been a good friend. And you know what? I'll take it a step further than that, Don. I'm sorry. I didn't bring the gift. I should have prepared. I should have had the card in advance of that weekend. I should have taken care of it and delivered it that day. Okay? That being said, I did not do that. So I can only do what I can do, and that is make sure RJ gets a wonderful gift, that he feels appreciated, and that he feels my appreciation for what was one of the great food spreads in the history of weddings. And I will make sure that happens. But for Dave Rothenberg, let's just be honest, you can get rid of the sad music now. You can maybe now add some angry music. This is a distraction, Don. This is a distraction because yesterday my friend Dave Rothenberg got on the radio and said, what was the exact quote about today's game?
That if they lose, the season is over.
This is a distraction because he knows that a sports talk show host saying that is such a caricature, such a joke, while tonight's game is a vital game for the Giants, and they have to play well. They have to play well. Daniel Jones has to take a step forward. You know who we're not mentioning enough? Saquon Barkley cannot average 2.8 yards a carry tonight. Jason Garrett needs a comeback game. They all need a better game. Don, it is ludicrous to say that the season's over if they simply lose the game tonight.
Yeah, but we also have to realize in defense of Dave, because he obviously is over the top because he's a talk show host and
he's
paid to give hot takes.
Sure.
But if they get blown out tonight, I mean, who thinks the season isn't over?
Well,
like,
that's
to declare it's one thing when you got 15 weeks left, but does anybody in their right mind going to come on the air tomorrow if they lose 35-3 and call up and sit on hold for 20 minutes to tell us how this team can still put it together?
Okay,
and
but
we
again,
won't laugh at them.
You're right, but what you just did, Don, you know what? You used your vocabulary. You used words.
Which
you
is limited, used, but still.
Yeah, it's limited, but still. You used nuance, and you made a complete point.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's hear from Damian Woody, who was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, talking about who's on the hot seat if the Giants do lose tonight.
It's going to be Jason Garrett. I think Jason Garrett is going to be the one guy. If the Giants go 0-2, I think the block is going to get real hot with Jason Garrett, particularly if that offense, you know, looks like the way it looked last week.
Jeff Darlington was on with Barton Hahn earlier, and he was asked if Gettleman's on the hot seat potentially.
Remember when Daniel Jones got drafted and everybody's like, okay, well, there you go. If Daniel Jones is not the answer, Gettleman needs to be fired. So here we are. We're about to find out. So to me, Gettleman is on the hottest seat of any GM in the league.
Yeah, that's the take.
That is the take. It's not one night. It's not today. It's still about where we end up by the end of the year. But if you don't know by week 18 that Daniel Jones is not average, he's not decent, if you don't know that he is your quarterback, then it's over for Gettleman, Don. I'm sorry, I don't wish it on him, but that's the truth.
Because we even said at the time, you could go out there and draft how many different Hall of Famers and all that. If you whiff on your quarterback, who's the sixth overall pick, you don't get up from that. So Saquon can go to the Hall of Fame. Will Hernandez can put it together and end up having a Pro Bowl type of career. And just go, you know, listen, the Logan Ryan deal was a really good one. I think they eventually will be proven to have won the Brown deal with Odell Beckham Jr. But if Jones doesn't turn out, none of that matters. None of it matters. It's quarterback league, sixth overall pick. You said you were in full bloom. Well, apparently that rose is taking a long time to bloom.
But speaking of which, don't you hate so classic that the we talked about the Giants starting center today and receiving him from Cincinnati. And the dude they traded him for balled out on Sunday for Cincinnati. Two sacks.
Mm.
Apparently he wasn't good in this scheme. Don't you love that, Don? Talented players. Got to get rid of them, though. Doesn't work on the scheme. What scheme is this? I'm sorry. I'm waiting. I love when people are committed to a scheme, but we've never seen the scheme be successful. Like, if the scheme was – no, listen. If this was the Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Ravens defense, and you get rid of a piece because you're like, no, it doesn't work here. Well, no one bats an eye. You're looking at one of the greatest defenses of all time. Short of that, though, I never understand. And you hear it all the time in football. Had to move him. Didn't fit. He didn't fit in this scheme. No.
Well, sometimes that's just coach speak, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. I didn't like the guy is actually what it actually means sometimes. You know who knows the Giants pretty well? You remember a character named Bill Parcells?
Oh, yeah. The tuna.
That's right. He was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max talking about this game today, and he was asked about the Giants' offensive issues thus far.
I think they're okay at the wide receiver position, but their inside receivers, you know, they drafted this Tony, number one. He's supposed to be their slot. The tight end isn't playing. They've got to get something that's a little easier for Daniel Jones on the inside. And unless they get that, it's going to be problematic. Because you have to have a few things where the ball can get out quickly, and those inside receivers are usually part of the keys to that.
Now, speaking of Jones, Parcells was asked if we can assess Jones fairly.
You have to have a situation that allows your quarterback to succeed before you can really be judgmental on him. I mean, if it's just one-sided and you rely totally on the passing game, I think it's very difficult.
Wonder what he would say about Sam.
Well, that's the thing.
Think that about Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and how many years? Then it becomes impossible to assess if you can't get everything right. And are you ever going to have the ideal situation to assess someone, Don? Is it ever going to be just right?
But you would think when you invest, and this is the problem I have with the Jets, and maybe it'll end up being with the Giants too, you decide I'm going to trade up to 3 to get Sam Darnold, or I'm going to take out of nowhere where nobody thought it should happen, take Daniel Jones at 6 overall. Then it's incumbent on you to do everything humanly possible to give him the best chance to succeed. And if we're sitting here going into week 2 of year 3, and we're still not sure the Giants did that, then that's on them. So ultimately, you're going to get a Jets situation where they're going to end up parting ways with Daniel Jones, and we're going to wonder, was it Jones or was it the way they handled it? There should be no doubt. If you move on from Daniel Jones, it should be because we've seen everything, we've gave him every chance to succeed, and this guy fell on his face, we're moving on. Not, it might be Jones, it might have been us. And if it's us, then what does it matter what quarterback you bring in? Now, the Giants did get him weapons, but have they improved this offensive line? Have they improved the play calling to make it easier for the quarterback to excel? God, that's what's so frustrating about it. If he's not good, he's not good.
Well, speaking of that and being set up to succeed, Parcells was asked if Jason Garrett's been set up to succeed.
Jason has a lot of experience. Listen, it's predictable because, as I told you, the inside receivers have not been productive. And, you know, he hasn't had his running back. You know, sometimes circumstances, the situation won't let you succeed. I've seen that a lot in football. The situation will not let you succeed. And until they get a little more balance in their running game and a little bit better execution in the underneath routes, then that's going to open it up for the wide receiver. It's going to be problematic.
Hey, you know, I wish we could talk to Bill. But they actually did a decent job last year running the football after Saquon got hurt, don't you think? Now, they weren't lighting the world on fire, but they were running the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with. No, this isn't a boring or uncreative or dated formula. It's that our inside receivers aren't doing their work. I don't know if I believe that.
It just seems very, very, very like nuanced. Like, and listen, it's Bill Parcells. I mean, he sees things way different, but he seems to be giving like a very like specific reason why. And I think there's a bunch of different reasons why. But come on, I've seen guys do more with a lot less. You know, at some point, you want your quarterback to do something, and he has. I mean, he came out his first game. He was the offensive player of the week. I mean, we've seen moments from him. But you don't think fumbling the football 18 times is one of the reasons we're here?
Well, let's one bit of good audio.
Okay.
Bart from Bart and Hahn earlier, he believes the Giants are going to win tonight.
I just believe in Saquon Barkley. I believe that they're building this team the right way. I just can't see, like, Danny Dimes losing to a dude named after a beverage. You know what I mean? Like, if you lose to a dude that's a backup and you're the sixth overall pick, you're writing your own obituary because there's no way that you can stay with them. And I don't want the Giants to be in the same boat that the Jets were last year, giving up on Sam Darnold after year three. But the reality is, if they lose and they go 0-4 again and this isn't a great season, they have two first-round draft picks. They are going to have no choice but to hit the reset button and start all over and get a new franchise quarterback.
I'm not in love with that cut either.
Which part?
All of it. I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
First of all, let's not make Heinicke out to be just some bum. He almost won a playoff game. All right? So it's not like they went out to the like old Arena League and threw somebody in who has no idea what's going on, like with his helmet on backwards.
I am with you on that, Don. Right. I think like that narrative has gotten a little bit old. I understand he doesn't have like a track record, a long track record as an NFL quarterback. But to your point, Don, he has played now in relevant spots and clearly didn't look. At the very least, he went up against Tom Brady last year, one-on-one in a playoff game, and completely right. held his own.
Yeah, and also, even to your point, too, we like to get caught up in the matchup of quarterback versus quarterback. Listen, the Giants might lose, and it has nothing to do with the quarterback play in
Correct.
Washington. You know, if Daniel Jones fumbles the ball again, if the Giants can't do anything offensively, Washington might win this game 6-3. All right, so it's not mano a mano, quarterback versus quarterback. It's Jones against that Washington defense. It's the Giants' offensive line against that front four of Washington and the possibility that they can get to the quarterback without having to blitz. You know, so it's not – I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's about one quarterback outplaying the other quarterback. It's about how does Jones get through this defense and what does the Giant defense do against Heinicke and some pretty good weapons that Washington has. So I don't think it's a mano quarterback versus quarterback situation here.
No, it's definitely not. In fact, if you want to really play that game, then saying it's Daniel Jones up against the Washington defense, that's a lot – that's first more honest and a much scarier proposition than being up against Taylor Heinicke. But remember, and some stats here for you – 4-0 against Washington. Daniel Jones has 8 wins in his career overall. 4 of them come against the Washington football team.
Mm.
So he's 4-0 against Washington, 4-19 against everyone else.
Wow. So I was arguing with Michael, you'll appreciate this, when he made the Washington pick. He's like, I know the Giants have struggled on Thursday night. I know that that Daniel Jones is undefeated against Washington. I don't care. That's meaningless to me. And I said, it's not meaningless. I mean, you can't just ignore that, right? When you see a quarterback and half his wins are against that specific team. And I get that the Giants barely beat them the 2 times they beat him last year, but we're talking about a quarterback that has not won a lot of games, but he's 4-0 against Washington. You can't just dismiss that.
Well, how about this? You want to keep going with those stats?
All right.
Saquon has averaged 132 rushing yards in 3 career games against Washington, 8.1 yards per carry. He averages 68 yards and 4.3 yeah. yards per carry against the rest of the league. Don, yeah, who knows how these things happen? And who knows whether this team is different? Because this Washington defense has obviously gotten better over the last year. But remember, Daniel Jones beat this defense twice last year, too. So this is an opportunity for him to get right. There's
now,
no
if you
want to
tell
it.
Me, and I believe this is correct, and you'd know better than me because you follow the team every week, Washington got better as the season went on, and the Giants played Washington twice early last year. So maybe if those games were later in the season, things would have been different. And, you know, again, a two-point conversion, we all felt the momentum was on Washington's side. If Rivera just kicks the extra point, I think Washington wins in overtime. So you can go that route, but you just can't ignore.
They played October 18th. That was the game we talked about, Don, with the Rivera going for two. That was a 2019 Giants win. And they played for the last time on November 8th, a 23-20 Giants win. So to your point, the Giants barely beat them both times mid-November last year. That was before Washington went on to beat Cincinnati, Dallas, Pittsburgh, San Francisco. They lost to Seattle. They became a much different team after that.
I think, for me, I don't know how you felt about it, but for me, the defining moment in Washington's year last year where everything turned around was that win against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Now, the Dallas win was big, too. That was Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. 41-16.
But Dallas wasn't a very good team. Now, you could say Pittsburgh ended up not being a very good team, but I think they were like 11-0 when Washington beat them.
Yeah.
And then that was like, oh, Washington's arrived. And they played much better the rest of the way. So I get Michael's point. If you want to say I respect those stats, but I disagree, that's fine. Every year is different. But you can't ignore that. Just like you can't ignore the fact that Daniel Jones is 0-5 in primetime games. You know, so there's something to that too. I don't know what's going to happen. That's why I'm not touching the game with a 10-foot pole.
And just to make you feel a little bit better, when it comes to primetime, these are both two absolutely horrible football teams when it comes to primetime. Monday night, Washington's even worse than most. I mean, they're a disaster on Monday night. But in general, not very good with the lights on at night. In Washington, it is rainy and gross. It is, I just looked earlier, Don, tickets available in every section. It's going to be an ugly, messy game, a weird one to sort of to get any sort of momentum from a crowd standpoint. It's not going to be that kind of game, Don. It's going to be sloppy and quiet. It should be a bizarre game that both teams need.
And as we mentioned, both teams starting 0-2 would be awful. The Giants would be 0-2 for the fifth consecutive year. And also, Washington 0-2 starting the season with two home games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, exactly. So I'd love to see the stat. Now, again, we have an extra playoff team and an extra week, so the old stats won't work. But we already know that it's like 11% teams that start 0-2 making the playoffs. What it is when you lose your first two at home?
That will do it for this pre-Giants Washington ENN, a special Yom Kippur ENN on this Thursday evening.
And because you've dedicated yourself to 8 o'clock, you are an hour and 35 minutes away from finally being able to eat.
That's
for
right.
The first time in a day. So I wish you a quick and a fast and a healthy and hearty hour and 35 minutes to get to where you need to go.
Thank you, Donnie.
And I can't wait to work with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Hopefully breaking down a big Washington football win.
And we'll be prepared to do it no matter what. Right? Maybe it'll be that Gus Frerotte headbutt into the wall 7-7 tie. It could be that.
We've had some real dreadful ones.
So we'll see how that works out. That was primetime, too. That was a Sunday night game, if I remember. So we'll see if that works out. So Peter is going to join into the holiday with his family. And that means we're going to take your calls the rest of the way at 1-800-919-3776. It's Don LaGreca, a Don Show coming up on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.